Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So there are people that are there that come alongside of them to refresh them. Sometimes there are those that are in the heat of the battle like David, and sometimes there are those that refresh the person that's in the heat of the battle. And we'll see that they'll be ready. They'll be strengthened, they'll be rested, they'll be able to regroup. David's mind will be fresh so he can figure out exactly what to do in putting together the battle plan.
Do you have an encourager in your life who reminds you of God's power when the storms of life come? Or maybe you are that person, reminding those who are going through trials that God is good and keeps His promises. We're studying the life of King David, and here comes part two of our study in 2 Samuel 16, 15 through 17, with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The next thing we see is that Ahithophel gives more advice. This time, however, he gives good advice. And the crazy thing is that Absalom won't take it. He gives bad advice, Absalom does it. He gives good advice, and now Absalom doesn't take it. This is 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king." So he's going to murder the king. Ahithophel is ready to murder the king. Why? Probably because of the bitterness in his heart. Probably because his son-in-law was murdered by David. And so he's going to come with 12,000 men. David is running. They're tired. They're weary. They have yet to cross the River Jordan. And so he can kind of catch them, pin them up against that with 12,000 men. The people will flee, and I will kill only David. That's murdering. It's not allowing them to surrender or capture them, but it's murdering. I will kill only the king. "Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return, except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace." And the saying pleased Absalom and the elders. Absalom was I like that. My dad's finally dead. Now, why did Absalom have such bitterness against David? If you haven't been with us, then you don't know that one of his sons violated one of his daughters. They were half brothers and sisters, and Absalom was the full brother of the daughter who was violated. And David didn't do anything to Amnon for violating Absalom's sister. And when Absalom fled after killing Amnon, David didn't do anything either. He just ignored him and left it alone. That grew into bitterness. That grew into such a hatred in his son that he wanted David to die. Parenthood that neglects is not really parenthood. And David is a good example in a lot of things, a bad example in some things, and parenting is one of them. And so this pleases Absalom. So then in verse 5, Absalom said, "Now call Hushai, the Archite also, and let us hear what he has to say." And now comes in the double agent. This is like a Mission Impossible, right in the Bible. And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him saying, "Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up." So Hushai said to Absalom, "The advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time." Said Hushai, "You know your father and his men are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field." Now, it is true, David has his mighty men with him, and they may be upset. And his analogy is a pretty good one. If ever you spot a cub in the wilderness, you need to find out where the mom is immediately, right? And you certainly don't want to play with the cub or pick up the cub, because you're going to get eaten if you do that. And if you don't believe that, there's a channel on YouTube called Scary Bear Attacks, and you can read about people messing around with bear cubs and the results of that. So his analogy is really good. That's a real YouTube channel, by the way. And because I watched a couple of them, they keep popping up. And then I watch them and swear I'm never going to go into bear country, ever. So he's got mighty men, and they're enraged, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. "And your father is a man of war." And that is true. David's known for killing Goliath, a giant. David is known for fighting for Saul and becoming one who could kill 10,000, where Saul was attributed 1,000. David was known when he became king of settling the enemies that were around them and settling them so that they were no longer enemies. And so David was a man of war. And so he says, and will not camp with the people. So now he's just kind of throwing things in. Ahithophel's not going to be able to go find him and kill him because he's not going to camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place. And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first. So these 12,000 men go and fight the mighty men of David, and then they're overthrown, that whosoever hears it will say, there is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. So Absalom, this is a bad idea. There's going to be a slaughter, and people are going to hear about that. And that's not how you want your reign to begin. And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all of Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore, I advise you that all of Israel be fully gathered to you, from Dan to Beersheba. That's one tip of Israel to the other end. Gather together the entire army with you, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to your battle in person. You, Absalom, lead the battle. Now, what is this going to do? First of all, it's going to buy David time, because it's going to take a while to get messengers out to Beersheba and Dan and have them gather together. Number two, it's going to put Absalom at risk, because Absalom's going to be out in the field. And Absalom is not like David. David is battle tried. I watched a documentary a little while ago on Caesar's battle against Pompey. Pompey had significantly more men, but Caesar's had been fighting for him for many years, and they defeated this army that was like 10 times bigger than them just because they were seasoned in battle. And maybe the general's decision, certain decisions that they made that I'm sure played a part of it. But that's how important it is to have seasoned people that are with it. And so to get Absalom out on the battlefield, he's bound to make a mistake. So he says, you go to the battle in person. This is a little flattery as well. You lead the people, Absalom. So we will come upon him in some place that he may be found. And now he gets very dramatic. And we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him and all of the men who are with him, we shall not be one left that is so much as one. Moreover, if he is withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there. So Absalom and the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster upon Absalom. So what did it say about Ahithophel's advice? It was good. Had they pursued David immediately, they would have found him weary. They would have found him unable to stand up and fight in the battle, and they would have defeated them. But now this buys them time. So God was answering King David's prayer. When David heard that Ahithophel had joined, this is what he said. This is 2 Samuel 15:31. Then someone told David that Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, we find the spy team, the espionage, at work. They've got to get the information to David. They got to get David off of that field across the Jordan River where they can regroup, get their men refreshed and strengthened, and get them back over again. So verse 15, then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar, so there's the whole team, right? The priest, thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. So what he wanted to do was get both of the information over there in case Absalom changed his mind and decided to do what Ahithophel would do. And so verse 16, now therefore sing quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend the night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all of the people who are with him be swallowed up. Now Jonathan and Ahimez stayed in Enrogel, for they dared not be seen coming and going into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told on Absalom. So one pastor said, a little snitch. He sees him and he goes and he tells Absalom. And now Absalom knows that something's up because the sons of Abiathar and Zadok are out in the field. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Baharim. This is the village that's on the other side of the Mount of Olives. So this is pretty close to Jerusalem. And they went down to it And the women took and spread a covering over the well's mouth. So they went down to a well, and she covered a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, "Where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" So the woman said to them, "They have gone over the water brook." So again, we find another lie, right, here in the Bible. And when they had searched, they could not find them, and they returned to Jerusalem. Now it came to pass, after they had departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told the king David, and said, "David, arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you." So David and all of the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan by morning light. Not one of them was left and had not gone over the Jordan. Now later on in this chapter, we're told that certain people of the area gathered together wine and food and grains, and they refreshed them. So there are people that are there that come alongside of them to refresh them. Sometimes there are those that are in the heat of the battle like David, and sometimes there are those that refresh the person that's in the heat of the battle. And we'll see that they'll be ready. They'll be strengthened, they'll be rested, they'll be able to regroup. David's mind will be fresh so he can figure out exactly what to do in putting together the battle plan. As I said, this is old territory for David. It's brand new territory for Absalom. So they had all crossed over. Now, the final thing is that Ahithophel learns that his advice had not been taken. So, as I said, Absalom receives bad advice and does it, receives good advice and doesn't do it, receives fake advice and does it. Advice that's a trap and does it. He misses it on all points. Verse 23, now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and he arose and went home to his house, to his city, and he put his household in order and hanged himself and died, and he was buried in his father's tomb. Now, it's not a mistake that we see Judas in Ahithophel. As Ahithophel betrayed David, Judas betrayed Jesus. Jesus even quoted, "My friend who takes the bread has turned his heel against me." He quoted David speaking of Ahithophel to speak of Judas. Now, he joins some of the rare people in the Bible that it's talked about suicide. And we should talk about it, because suicide is wrong. It's murder. It's murdering yourself. You have the power to kill people around you, but you don't. You might think, "Well, I don't have that power." Well, figure it out. You're smart enough. You can figure it out. But you don't. Why? Because they're made in the image of God. Because you'd be taking their life, because it would be wrong. The same thing is true about yourself. God has given each of us an appointed time to die, and we don't take our own life. Maybe you've been thinking about it, maybe even recently. Maybe that kind of surprises you that here you are and we're talking about it. And I will tell you that if you are thinking about it, know that God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And whatever you're going through, or whatever you're struggling with mentally or emotionally, you can get through this. That's not the answer. Leaving that wake behind you that, unfortunately, I've had to lead funerals and celebrations of life for people that have taken their own life. The wake of destruction that is left behind is brutal. Sometimes it's even wanted. Sometimes they even did it for that very purpose. And if you are struggling with that, then get help. Let us help you. Let us at least be the first contact. Tell one of our pastors that's here. Tell me. We'll get you someone to talk to that you can talk about these things. But don't suffer with it alone. Don't keep it silent. Let us know. Let those around you that you love know that these are thoughts that you're having. And if you hear someone tell you something about it, then have compassion and be kind and look for ways to help. I'll also say, while I'm talking about this, that if you are a woman that has had an abortion and you're just in a dark place and hard to find forgiveness, talk to us as well. We'll put you in touch with someone who can help you with that struggle as well. To be able to find the forgiveness of God, as I said earlier, we live in a unique time where people justify it. And then you find yourself doing it and feeling the weight of it. Find that help that you need. Find the help that you need if you are thinking about this. Talk to us. Let us help you. We will help you. All right? This brings us to our final principle. I think of Ahithophel here taking his life because of the bitterness that he had for David. He wanted to kill him. Let me take 12,000 men. They'll scatter and I'll kill the king. But it ends up in his own ruin. And so the principle is this, Proverbs 24:29. Do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will kill him as he killed my grandson-in-law. I will render the man according to his works. He murdered, I'm going to murder him. Do not say that. Because the bitterness that would arise, had David not done that, had Ahithophel not let that bitterness arise in him, then you would have never have had the short, appalling reign of Absalom. And what's going to happen to Absalom would have never have happened. Now, three things in closing. Number one, there is safety in the multitude of counselors, but not from wicked or ungodly counselors, right? So you got to be able to discern who's a good counselor, who's a bad counselor, who can give you good counsel and who can give you bad counsel. Biblical counsel is the best. Number two, related, as tempted as you are, as tempted as you may be, don't take advice that is unbiblical or ungodly. It may even seem like it's, well, you know, that's pretty good advice. You guys should live together first, because what if you don't get along? That might seem like a pretty good idea. But do you know that people that live together before they get married have a higher rate of divorce? So the very argument that if you live together, you'll know whether or not you should marry doesn't really end up in the right place, because more people get divorced when they've lived together. And as well as I'm giving out free advice tonight, let me just say to those of you that may be living together to move out. And don't use the excuse that it's going to be difficult financially. Look, there's a God who will help you. There's a God who will bless you. You have a chance to really show your faith in him by moving out, by going and sleeping on someone's couch, by finding someone who will help you. Come to us. Again, come to us for everything. But come talk to us. But I've seen it. I've seen people make a decision. I had a couple that came to the church shortly after they got saved. They were living together when they got saved. They didn't know what to do. So they decided to put two sets of sheets on the bed, and one would sleep under one sheet and the other would sleep under the other sheet. Well, they came and they confessed, that's not working so well. And I don't know that it would work well with any of us. I mean, if you're attracted to somebody and having a sheet between you, that might make it worse. That just might make it worse altogether. Having something be a little taboo and sheets between you, just not good. And so I gave him that advice. Move out. Do you have somebody you can go to? Well, it's good. We don't have money. We can be able to do that. Do you have a friend you can go crash with? Yes, I do. Well, then go do that. Move out. Let her have a place. And then set a time to marry, and I'll marry you guys. They did that. They moved out. Got married. He ended up becoming a pastor here at the church. God honored them when they did that, when they did what was right. And that may be the situation you're in. You find yourself being interested in God as a couple, and you're living together. And now you've got a decision that you got to make. And that's okay. So be careful not to follow in biblical advice or in godly advice. Finally, God is at work behind the scenes. Just as God was at work behind the scenes with Ahithophel, because David had prayed. Just as he defeated the advice of Ahithophel, he can do the same for us. As we call out to God and ask him to help, we don't always have to figure things out. We can put our trust in God and call out upon his name. All right? Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for the time that we can spend here today. I want to thank you for the love and the care that you've given us, even as we take a look at David and we see his response and being out in the field and being on the run and how you took care of things with Absalom. And Lord, as we look at next week and we see the fall of King Absalom, Lord, we pray that we would learn these lessons ourselves. And if there's anything you need to do inside of any of us, I pray that you would do it. I also pray for those who have never given their life to you. I pray that they would give their life to you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just a moment. This won't take a long time. But if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, and I want to make clear what I mean. I mean that you stop living for yourself and you're now going to live for him. That you invite him into your life, that you say, Jesus, I want you in my life. The Bible says very clearly that if you receive him, you have the right to become a child of God. You will actually be adopted into the family of God. And I also want to make it clear that if that happens, that you will become a disciple of Jesus. You won't just become a church member. You don't just have your validation for heaven and get eternity, but you become his disciple. Just as he worked with Peter, James, and John, with Mary, Martha, and Mary Magdalene, he's going to work with you. And you're going to be his disciple who's going to represent him everywhere you go. Your sins will be forgiven. But how wonderful that will be for those of you who surrender your life to Christ today. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you might think, I'm okay because I go to church. Well, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. It could make you think you're a Christian when you're not. You have to be born again, Jesus said. Number two, just because you're born into a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Everybody at one point has to make a decision to follow the Lord themselves. Maybe that's today. And I'm saying this to you because if you're not going to commit your life to Christ today and you don't know him, then I'm going to ask you not to take communion with us because it's very serious, and I'll explain that here in just a moment. But if you are here today and you want to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something that's simple but profound. Just raise your hand. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand, and I want to pray for you. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. Anyone else? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. God bless you in the back. Ma'am, that's great. Anybody else? You want to give your life to Christ? God bless you. That's awesome. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you and be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. For those of you who raised your hand, I really am excited for you. I remember when I prayed a prayer like that at 14, that God really did transform me, and I became a genuine Christian by the power of the Holy Spirit. I walked away at 18 and came back at 19, prayed a prayer in my room by myself, and my prayer was pretty simple. I'm done, God. No longer what I want, but whatever you want. God honored that prayer and transformed me again. God will do the same for you, whether you made that commitment now or whether you prayed it at another time. We have a new believers table that's out in the foyer. We've got a Bible we want to give you, a new believers packet, which tells you what to do now that you are a Christian.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.